Hello, how are we? God help us all, we're back. The joys of the Arsenal. Hi, welcome to ABW Live. Yes, we're back. A new season and the learning curve continues. Today, we have Dom, John and Shredder, who's late joining us. Hi guys, you okay?
Good.
Yeah, good, Jace. Another interesting day and more things to learn from it.
More things to learn?
Well, or questions to ask, or, yeah, I don't know. It's weird being an Arsenal fan at the moment because you're not sure how you're supposed to react to everything.
Absolutely. Right, a couple of shout-outs in the chat box. Will Crichton, Pat Brady, Alan Craker, Brees 2100, Yemma, Kirab Ferguson, Ahmad Nader, Billy Butler. Billy Butler's in there a lot nowadays. How are you, Billy? Arsenal Red and White Army TV, Archie, Nude Kuna. Oh, how are we all? Yeah, it was certainly an interesting game for us. Shreds, are you mate, okay?
Yeah, mate, good. Good. Glad to be able to join.
Yeah, glad you turned up at last.
Yeah, the pub, the
Yeah.
Out of the
no
pub.
Excuses.
You know.
No excuses. Zip it. Right, okay, Dom.
I'm a shocker apologist, Jace. I gotta have excuses.
Zip it. Dom, to you first. Lineups. Really interesting. No Lacazette, no Ramsey. It will be in. Talk to me about it.
Definitely think from after last week, he wanted some width. He saw just how much it hurt us not having any last week. And I like to see Monreal back on the team sheet. I thought he added that extra little bit of width with his overlapping and that helped out. And we saw that the chances that we did create were from those wide areas. So it'll be interesting to see if he sticks with trying to shoehorn some width into the team, because by doing that, you are sort of leaving, you know, like you said, Lacazette or Ramsey or Torreira or one of these kind of guys on the bench. But if that's the way that he wants to go down and he really does want that front three, then I guess that's going to have to happen because we really don't have a whole lot of options for those wider areas.
Yeah, John, I mean, you know, we're looking at the lineup at the moment. Emery is, he's finding out about this squad, you know, and he's finding out about these players. Pre-season is all well and good. Today is welcome to the Premier League for a couple of these guys. And it was interesting seeing people's reactions, how they performed on the day. How do you see it kind of going forward?
I think we've seen the City game and then this game today. You know, he's definitely trying things and there's clear messages being sent out to players and the way we're set up and way we're attempting to press teams. It's obviously not working at the moment. And I think that's more down to a personnel not used to it. Some players, I don't think, are capable of playing this particular system. Some aren't fit enough or haven't learned it well enough yet. I would back away a little bit from the comment of him not knowing the players, because the whole reason he apparently got the job was his amazing report on every single player in the squad, all the way down to the reserves and what he would do with these players and everything else. So he clearly approached the club in his interview with, this is what I can get out of this player and this is what I'm going to get them to deliver for you. Saying that from afar is very different to obviously seeing him in training, but it's hard to judge from this game because we did so poorly at the start and then fought really, really well to come back into it. And then we go and throw it away again. But it was weird. I was watching the American commentary and we had Lee Dixon and we had Graham Lasso, and they were both saying how both teams, Chelsea and Arsenal, both had very different managers come in. We've got clear, distinctive styles of the way they want to play. They could both score goals last season, but they couldn't really defend. And how you watch them at the start of the season, they've still got the same issues. Now, granted, it's only two games in, but there's still some very, very simple, basic things. And the one thing I would say is that in Emery's time so far, I think you'll see certain players will be more exposed. Not in terms of, people's opinions on them, because I think everyone already has their opinions on certain players, but they will be exposed in the sense that they are not as good as perhaps some people thought, or they cannot play in particular systems and will eventually be moved on. So like the last time when we said it might take a few transfer windows to get this right, I think that is the case, because there's certainly a few people in this squad who I know it's still early days, but I'm not sure they're capable of playing the sort of football that he wants to play.
This is the issue then, though. He's not in charge of transfers. That's Sven's job. So, yeah. You know, I mean, if you're looking at, you know, we mentioned this pre-season, the lack of pace in the squad, you know, and there is a lack of pace in the squad. We can see that all over the park. You know, we knew who we were bringing in, you know, or the type of game we wanted to play, obviously. And yet we brought in players not capable of doing that, it looks to me at times. But, you know, I think there is a difference between doing your homework on a player and working with them.
Yeah, yeah.
I think there's a massive difference in that. And he's going to have to, you know, he's going to learn as he goes along. Jay, game started pretty quickly. Chelsea looked on top. We have a chance from Ozil where he flashes across the goal. Really difficult, really, really difficult chance. And then before we know it, we're 1-0 down with the Pedro goal. What did you think of that, mate?
Oh, it's tough. It's tough. I think that's been the big thing for Arsenal throughout the years, and I think we're seeing the sort of the over mentality of, you know, within, you know, 30 seconds of putting a, you know, a shot across goal, we're conceding. That's not what you want to see. That's a lack of focus from the players, and it doesn't seem like, I know we're only two games in here with Emery, but it seems like, you know, just still it's that little bit of focus that we didn't have before. We're still trying to find that throughout the game and to have that consistent focus like the best teams have. So it was disappointing. Absolutely. I mean, we, you know, I thought we started off, you know, somewhat well, and I think, you know, the first 10 minutes were okay, but especially until we conceded, it just felt like the same old thing a little bit. And I think that's probably most fans' frustration is the fact that it might feel the same that it used to. And we're thinking like, where's all this? Where's Gazidis's catalyst for change? But it's going to take a little bit longer. So we got to just continue to do, the players got to continue to do what Emery says. And I think those situations where you put that first shot of the match for either team across goal, and then concede, you know, within 30 seconds. That's something. It may take us a little bit longer to really figure out.
Yeah, Dom. Yeah, it was really disappointing to let the goal in the way we did. You know, Sokratis is nowhere to be seen. Hector and Mkhitaryan. I do not know what they were doing. I really don't know what they were doing. This is just more sloppy defending. More. Nonsense from us again. You know, put into words what you thought about it.
I think, like John said, that you're going to get exposed with this type of system. And we don't know whether Bellerin was doing his job by pushing forward to create width, maybe. But I can tell you what I noticed was Mkhitaryan stopped running and Alonso didn't. And Mkhitaryan should have kept running and tracked his runner because Alonso ended up getting a really easy ball. Obviously, he found the space. And, you know, and when you're running back towards your goal like that, it is hard to defend. You probably don't expect it to happen. And facing the play is a lot easier than running back with it if you're a defender, especially when you've got little whippets like Pedro and these kind of guys running around. And that's going to be one of those moments I think Emery might bring up on tape and just say, look, between the two of you, you both made individual errors, and that's going to cost you a goal at this level. And that's the kind of thing that, whether we like it or not, will take time before we start to, you know, really wrap our heads around what Emery's trying to do. Because I think John's right. I just think there are some players, you see in the chat box and you see the criticism, and I understand it's frustration where players are being called shit, but they're all playing for one of the biggest clubs in the world, in the Premier League. They're not. They've got a certain skill set that maybe a player comes in and does a better job purely because it fits the way that the manager wants to play. You look at what Pep did. He sold and bought a bunch of players in that fit what he wanted to do. And I feel like that's probably going to have to be a similar story with us. It's going to take a good 2-3 windows before we can get a squad together that's capable. Because I saw, you know, we spoke about this just before we went live, Jace, the pressing was there, but it wasn't. You know, it wasn't an amazing kind of example of what a pressing game looks like, but there was definitely effort to do so, but without any reward. There was a lot of expended energy with no reward there, where, you know, hopefully halfway through the season, if players start to pick this up, a lot of that pressing will result in a turnover and a quick transition towards our own, you know, scoring opportunity. And I think the few times we did see that happen, it was let down by really poor finishing.
I think, you know, the press lacked conviction more than anything else. We weren't going as a team. I understand, you know, we're second game into the season. That it's going to take a while to gel. We saw the same last week, but I think we lacked conviction. There were players not doing it this week. You know, there were players not joining into the press. So you didn't get any coherent pressure on the ball. You know, there's no coherent pressure on the ball, men or space. That's an issue. And as you say, there's a lot of energy expended without any reward.
Goal as well. I don't think it's just that players weren't pressing, because I think people were generally in the first half and second half. We were just tired and couldn't do it. But they were pressing the wrong people and at times didn't know who to press. I mean, Aubameyang was up front. We were ostensibly playing like 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3, however you wanted to put it today. But Ozil was actually in the middle and had that sort of freedom at 10. But if you're there and you're going to press, then surely he's the other man to press a centre-back. But at times he was pointing at Guendouzi or Xhaka to go and chase down a centre-back. And then they're standing there going,
I
5 yards, but then I'm not really pressing the centre-back. And now I'm out of position for a midfielder. And absolutely no one in our midfield closed Jorginho down. I mean, the Alonso run, like, it's good fullback running and it's good finish from Pedro. But the ball from Jorginho opens the whole thing up. And he had no pressure on him whatsoever for the first 30 minutes in that game. He could dictate absolutely everything, could pick any pass he wanted.
But this is my point. If Ozil's not going to take part in the press, which he didn't, he had a tough time today. Make no bones about it. But if he's not going to take part in the press, there's no point in doing it, because he's not clearing up anything. Yeah. He's not joining in. He's not contributing to anything. Therefore, you get this. You get this end result of pressure coming on us and us letting in a goal. Now, John. Dom just mentioned there's going to be plenty of tape to look out after this game. There's going to be 120 or 130 issues which he's going to need to address from here. And one of them is definitely going to be Aubameyang's miss from Hector's cross. Hector with a great run down the flank, great cross. It's an open goal and he skies it.
Yeah, and sadly he wasn't the only one today who was guilty of... it's basically an open goal. A player of his quality, the minimum you ask is hit the target, you know, at least make the goalkeeper work or a defender put a block in or something. And it's just, and don't get me wrong, I know it will happen to every striker. You know, Harry Kane will go on and score 20 odd goals a season and he'll miss one like that. So will Aguero, you know, those things happen. But just work the keeper, do something. And it makes it a very different game, because basically, I think the two times we had those chances like that in the first half, and the Bangos was the first one, you know, we end up going, the ball goes the other end and we concede a goal. And it just changes the whole atmosphere and the feeling of the game. And you could see the players were nervous. They went down 2-0 and they looked like they didn't know what to do with the ball. They didn't know who to press. They didn't know where to go. When they had the ball, they couldn't string two passes together. And that nervousness just goes through the whole team. And it's always, the other part of it as well is because they're playing a totally new system. They don't, you know, they're not confident in what they're doing at the moment. And the longer you go on without a win, then that permeates throughout the team for longer and longer and affects everything you do. You know, hopefully we can go on to the it's West Ham next, isn't it? And get 3 points there and just restore a bit of faith back into it. And it's just it's such an awkward run at the start of the season to have those two teams. I really don't know what to say, but it's criminal that Aubameyang missed. But like I said, you know, he did it. Mkhitaryan did.
We'll come on to Mkhitaryan now. It's difficult, and as you rightly say, it'll happen to everyone over the years. All the greats have missed those.
The problem is in a game like this where, you know, we're not playing great. We're in a new system. Defensively, we're still quite weak. you have to take those chances because they are so far and few and far between against the bigger sides, and because we are going to be vulnerable at the back.
Yeah, well, look, you know, our vulnerability at the back, Jace, was shown, you know, very soon afterwards with the Morata goal. Mustafi gets done by good skill, a ball through the legs, a check had no hope. Socrates is still running in sand, 20 yards behind. Talk me through it.
No, Morata's come under a lot of scrutiny. Coming into this season, he wasn't great for Chelsea when he came on a lot last season. Now, sort of, I think he looks like Sarri's sort of main striker. I know Giroud and him sort of alternated a little bit starting at the end of last year, but it was a bit criminal just to be able to, you know, the same thing. You think you'd learn your lesson once in a game, and you don't. You get caught out. And Jace, you keep talking about it, his lack of pace.
Wait a second. Sorry, mate. Roy Keane, not in the mood for you today, you nonce. Get out. Get out. Go away. Take care. Ta-ta. Bog off. You ain't coming back in here, son. Sorry, Jay. Carry on.
No, that's okay. That's okay. That was the real Roy Keane, by the way, everyone, that we just sent out of the chat. That was actually Roy Keane taking a break from everything. Anyway. So, we never bought Socrates for pace. That's, you know, we can bemoan the lack of pace that he has. That's not why he was purchased. He was purchased because he was a sound positional defender.
He's 15 yards behind. Nowhere near there, mate. He's nowhere near the play where he's supposed to be.
Correct. Okay? Correct.
You cannot be sound. You cannot be sound if you cannot keep up with your striker.
Absolutely. You're making my point for me, because what I'm about to tell you was he's not doing the things he was purchased for. Today, specifically, especially for that goal, he was a waste of the money that we spent on him. So then you get the fact. I think Cech could have done better as well. You know, Mustafi can probably do a little better. To let a guy who's not scored a ton of individual goals like that, John may be able to back this up for me. I think, what was it, every single goal Morata scored last year was with his head. I don't think he scored, or at least he didn't.
It was a large section of it, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
He didn't have a great season, though.
To let Morata run onto your defense, much like we used to make fun of teams who would let Giroud use his pace and skill and turn to score goals. That's what we're doing with Morata here. To allow him to do that to our defense, though, who we, you know, said we bolstered over the summer. It's a bit embarrassing. And that was, to me, that's the worst goal we've allowed all season. I don't care what happened in the City game or earlier or after that today. That goal in itself was indicative of a large majority of our defensive issues.
Yeah, no, that's a very good point. It's a very good point. Dom, a couple of minutes later, I thought my life was falling around my ears. The Mkhitaryan miss. I mean, it did bobble up in front of him. There was a little bit of a bounce, to be fair, but come on, you know.
Like you said, you know, it does happen to the best of them, but you know, you give those two guys, and they are technically very good finishers, and they do have good technique, and they're very skilled players. And, you know, they could do that 10 times in a row and they might miss one of them, maybe. And it just so happened that they both decided to have their miss, you know.
Sorry, pal. I've got to interrupt you for a second. Yvonne Okorfa. Thank you ever so much, mate. He always chucks a couple of quid away. Yvonne, you know, what can we say? You're just one of our favourites. Thank you ever so much. Yvonne's just donated a couple of quid to us. Thank you ever so much, mate. This one's for you. Sorry, Dom, carry on.
Thank you for the kind donation. Like you said, you know, that happens to the best of them. And unfortunately, it just so happened that it was two in the space of a few minutes that really did hurt at the time. You know, it's not like you're already one or two goals up and you have those misses. They were very significant in the moments. So But again, you know, I guess if you're going to put a positive spin on it, you would say that, well, look, we're getting the ball into these areas and the cutbacks were finding players, which was really positive too. And we did do that multiple times. You look at, you know, the Iwobi miss and the Iwobi goal was basically very sort of reminiscent of the two chances that ended up being skied over the bar. So, you know, maybe there's a little bit of, you know, a silver lining on that cloud.
Yeah. I didn't, you know, look, it's all the more chances you create them, you know, the more goals you score. But I mean, there were two golden opportunities. The Ozil chance was hard. You know, that one, it had been a miracle for him to get that on target. But, you know, the Mkhitaryan and the Aubameyang ones, because I thought today Aubameyang had a particularly tough day at the office. There was not much change for his effort, you know. No reward there, but you know, to capitalize on that with the Mkhitaryan chance being skied, it looked as if it was going to be one of those days at that point. But then, John, my world got a little happier. It got a little bit brighter with the Mkhitaryan goal. We saw some good work from Iwobi, puts a cross in, it gets blocked. The blocked cross falls nicely for Mkhitaryan, and bingo. I know you thought the goalkeeper should have been done better, but go on, talk to me about it.
Yeah, no, that was, it's weird because Mkhitaryan had a very strange game. Well, not strange game. I thought he had a bad game, to be honest, for most of the game today. But that is a prime example of what you get from him if he is given freedom and he can move around the box and pop up in different areas rather than staying on one side of the pitch. And he's got that ability in his locker to hit a ball like that. I do think the keeper should have saved it. I think there's a few Chelsea fans in our chat today. So hello to them. All welcome, all fans of all clubs. I'm sure a few of them were disappointed because the keeper got his hand to it. I'm not even going to try and pronounce his proper name. It's Kepa, isn't it, that they're all calling him rather than the name he's got on the back of his shirt. I think when you look at what Cech did with his saves today, where he only got a hand to a ball, it was a really strong wrist and turned it around the post. Whereas Kepa today, I think he got his hand to it and you would have, you know, the amount of money they spent on him, you would have backed him to turn it around the post. But he was in the right spot and he took it really well. Took it first time, hit it hard and low. And you can't really ask for much else. Made up a little bit, I guess, for the miss. And I really didn't see it coming at that point, to be honest, because when we were 2-0 down, Chelsea were all over us. They had so much control of the ball. They were moving it brilliantly. And it what it looked like to me, and I think I put it in our little WhatsApp group whilst we were watching the game, you looked at two teams have come in, they've got new managers, new systems, and one team looked miles ahead in terms of fitness, in terms of the way they were playing the system, in terms of certain players doing their job properly, like Jorginho's come in and just gone bang straight away, clicked into the Premier League, looks like an absolute gem. And we looked like we were a year away from being able to play that well. And that goal comes out of, you know, a decent attack, but, you know, a bit of a lucky deflection. And all of a sudden, the table's completely flipped. Because at 2-1, the way we were playing and then pressing Chelsea, if you told, you know, anyone who hadn't watched the game from before that point that we were basically useless for the first 30-odd minutes, they wouldn't have believed you. Because we looked the much better team as soon as that goal went in. Just restored a bit of belief, and I don't know, maybe it was a bit more belief, bit of faith in it, and just put the nerves in Chelsea then.
It did. But Jace, you know, again, the goal comes on the back of two horrendous misses. You know, there are two horrendous misses, and then we finally put one away. And I agree with John, you know, I mean, I thought we didn't look in it. I thought we were going to get humped. It really looked like a humping, but all of a sudden, we're on the front foot and we're looking positive, aren't we?
Yeah, I don't think there's maybe a Cech save, something like that. I think just that first goal in probably the 5 minutes leading up to it. Again, you can't put your finger on a specific play.
Sorry, mate. Oh, we get another nonce in the bloody chat box. Dear Brent, Drunk Bridge, take care. Goodbye. Have a sad life, you pathetic idiot. Carry on, mate.
Boom, there we go. Fine. There wasn't a particular tackle or sort of moment. We just sort of said, like, hey, like, we're, you know, something just clicked in us. And I, we looked a much better team from that point on, and you know, the few minutes leading up to it, to the point we mentioned it before, you're going to have those misses. You're just going to have them. But to be able to slot home like that, and again, Arrizabalaga, I believe is the way you pronounce that name.
I'm glad you did it and I didn't. Arrizabalaga.
I've actually practiced that for today, knowing you play him.
Especially out of the park.
That's professionalism. Thank you.
It needs a treatment. That's professionalism.
So, the fact that he was able, it just shows the fact that, yes, we may still be the Arsenal and miss some sitters. But if you look at especially where we took our goals from, it's indicative of a slight change so far in the fact that we're just gonna shoot. When the ball comes to us in a good position, I think you saw that more times today than you didn't. But when the ball comes to us in a good position, we're going to try to put a shot in. We're not going to bring it down and try to play the cutesy goal and walk it in. We're going to shoot. And that was indicative of that Mkhitaryan goal. And you got to – I've been really off of him this season, even up to the goal today. I was really off. I don't think he had a great game. But that turned it around for him and for us.
Yeah, no, I think you're right to think, you know, it's a great moment for us. And again, it just paid off at that point, didn't it? And thankfully the keeper didn't get to it. Dom, we saw, you know, a Czech save from Morata then. And that was the sign of things to come from Czech. He had a very good game today. You know, I know we lost 3-2. But everything he could get to, you know, everything that was possible to save, he saved today. He did very well, didn't he?
He definitely did. He was one of the few players from last week that, you know, we individually pointed out a few of the performance that we probably thought maybe didn't deserve a start. And Cech was one that I even said that I didn't want to see starting this week if we're going to play out from the back. But credit to him because he was one of our best players. But shouldn't have had to have been. That's probably the other thing. When your goalkeeper's your best player, like Man United have week in, week out, it probably a little bit of an indicator of how you're going as a team, John.
Yeah, the defence and the midfield is going to take time. I think we all kind of fell a little bit into the trap of, look, Cech will be dropped. Leno will come in because he can actually pass the ball better with his feet than Cech can. Well, I thought Cech did that fine today. I didn't think he was too bad. He was sensible in the times when he cleared it up the pitch as well. You know, we thought Torreira would come in and start and he would fix all our problems. That didn't happen. Even when he did come on, he still made some mistakes. So it's all still a learning curve for those kind of things. So I would expect that there will be quite a few games this season where we are saying Cech or Leno might be man of the match because of the amount of saves I have to make, because all of this is going to take time. I don't think Emery knows who his best back four is yet. I'm not sure who it is either. You know, Nacho came in today, looked pretty solid as usual, I thought. Bellerin was off, I thought, for the most part. He was decent going forwards, but then looked knackered towards the end of the game, last 20 minutes. He looked exhausted. But you also then have to counter that with the fact he had Mkhitaryan in front of him. He didn't really help him that much in the game. I thought Socrates made some good blocks and some good tackles, but was quite a position too much because of his lack of pace. Also looked tired. Mustafi got rolled to way too easily by Morata. You know, so that defence alone is going to suffer. And then you've also got to coach whoever the two are that's going to be in front of the defence. I don't think anyone had Xhaka starting today. You know, no. I put in our chat, I think Xhaka will start just because I think the manager seems to rate him, but got to half time and it doesn't look like he went off for an injury or anything else. So he clearly had enough.
He didn't do anything, did he? He just didn't. He was anonymous during the first half.
I mean, I saw him make one tackle and then he made the second one where he got a yellow card and that was really it. He made a few passes.
But sorry, John, the big part is when we're trying to play out the defence, he's just stood there. There is no effort to be free. None whatsoever.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. If you're trying to play it from the back, that's an issue.
I thought his movement was a bit better today, but yeah, he wasn't great. But to be perfectly honest, I don't think anyone was particularly fantastic for us today. You know,
question for you, John, with the tactical stuff. you know, Bellerin's been copping a little bit of heat in the chat box. I don't think he played terribly today. I think he was probably, as far as, you know, creating some chances, he was a big influential factor for us in creating the chances that we did create. And rightly, defensively, wasn't as good as he was offensively, which is an issue for a right back. But does someone like him benefit from having, say, a Torreira in midfield who can actually get across and cover and help out, whereas Xhaka potentially doesn't have that athleticism or mobility to do that? Is that something that Emery would be wanting? Or,
I mean, that's definitely going to help. You need, you know, we switched from that very tight, narrow system we had at City, and we actually played a bit wider today. But Mkhitaryan didn't cover Hector at times. He wasn't tracking Alonso properly. Guendouzi was coming across and helping, but sometimes he'd be on the left and it'd be Xhaka there and he wasn't coming across to help. So you saw a few times Torreira come over and help him out. But you could see the mix-up and the confusion about who was supposed to track what one runner, because when you look at the third goal, it's Lacazette who's the deepest player in our right-back position, you know, who's supposed to be our centre-forwards. Now, I appreciate the effort, you know, to go and try and win the ball back from a mistake, but he should be passing the player on to someone else, you know, these kind of things. So I'm not taking away any blame from Bellerin today, because I didn't think he had the best of games. I thought he was better going forward today than he was in the City game, which is obviously going to be easier. We're going to have a bit more of the ball. But still defensively, he's not switched on enough for me. He's still, his body shape is wrong at times, and he still gets caught in the wrong position.
And okay, question on Bellerin. I don't want to be an apologist for the guy, because he has been around long enough. But how much defensive coaching do you think he would have had at Arsenal in the last, well, since he broke through? Because he broke through on pure talent with some speed and some good performances. And at that time, I guess he had Mertesacker and Koscielny and some experience around him in that back line. You know, it was Monreal, Koscielny, Mertesacker and Bellerin. So he definitely probably benefited from that experience around him. But how much coaching defensively with all this stuff you're talking about would he have had?
Well, that's the thing. We don't know. You know, we've all suspected for a long time that Arsene didn't concentrate too much on defending, and that, you know, perhaps once you get to a certain age at Arsenal under Wenger and that system at the time, that you would get into the first team and then defensively you weren't particularly coached that much. And it was more down to the players around you and to learn from them and that kind of thing. So,
but would that matter now, bearing in mind we're playing a new system? Okay, we're supposed to be playing the press. So regardless of what's happened previously, is that going to have much effect now as well? You know, I mean,
the thing is, though, it's the basics of knowing that if you've got into the first team and then you obviously continue to learn, even though you are in the first team, because you're a young age, you know, you don't really stop until, well, I mean, in theory, I suppose you never stop learning, but until you get to a certain age, you don't stop. If Bellerin's never really had that coaching after a certain point, and you've now thrown him into a new system where you're doing something that's totally alien to him before, and he doesn't already have some of the basic principles of defending, it's going to be, you know, twice as hard. And I think there's a fair comment from Dom, actually, to be on that, because if you look at a lot of the young players that have come through Arsenal, they all kind of hit a wall after a certain point and then didn't necessarily develop. And the ones that did or did well, you know, whether it was at Arsenal or made a career somewhere else, were generally players in midfield and forward positions, you know, with a bit of those sort of players that have a bit more freedom than necessarily those in defence.
Okay. But to be fair to Hector, he was up and down all game. He didn't stop. It was for, you know, he put the effort in. It's just maybe the technical side. Jay, next thing, Iwobi scores. Ooh la la. Great finish. Talk to me about it.
The second half, Iwobi was one of our better players. I mean, he deserved a goal today. I think he played excellently. And he does the thing that we couldn't do early on in the first half, and he just taps it in. And that's, he just puts a foot to the ball and it puts it in the right place. I thought he was, and I forgot exactly who it was who put it in one of our groups on WhatsApp, but somebody said, whatever, it's like anytime Iwobi does one thing positive, he turns into a world-class player. And he makes that one good pass and that continues to follow it on, and then all of a sudden he's scoring a goal. I mean, he was absolutely quality for us in the second half and getting us back in the game. And I think that's positive to see. Still got knackered after about 60, 65 minutes in the match. So he's still got to work on his match fitness, but he did absolutely wonderful for us, especially when we started to grab the game by the neck is when he got better and better. And that's really positive to see from somebody who's still really young like he is.
Yeah, up until the assist for the first goal, he hadn't had much impact in the game at all. But
yeah, almost not
giving him the confidence. And yeah. Again, Hector with the assist here, great cross. And you know, you've got to give Iwobi credit on this. It was a dead-eyed finish. He was calm, and he did what Aubameyang wasn't able to do today.
Yeah, no, I muted myself, so you didn't, just in case. I was trying to be professional, became unprofessional while doing that. I totally just lost train of thought. What was the last thing you said there?
Iwobi did what Aubameyang couldn't today. You know, he finished and he finished with the plum.
Yeah, and I think if you give me money before the game on Aubameyang over Iwobi, I'm taking Aubameyang 9 times out of 10. But today was Iwobi's day, and I think he showed that. And Aubameyang's not going to miss many more like that. And let's hope that Iwobi does continue to make many more like that, because I think that reverse pass was there. I think our team can play to that strength when teams won't cut that off for us. And I think that's where we should try to go ahead and live in the next few matches to get some points on the board.
Absolutely, absolutely. Dom, you know, at this point, it's 2-2. You know, you've seen Hector come into the game with the assist. You've seen Iwobi with a great finish. We're on the up, aren't we?
Yeah. Yeah, it wouldn't have surprised me if we managed to sneak a lead in that game. And, I mean, you know, that is also another positive aspect. Again, you know, you've got to have a little bit of an eye on some positivity. Otherwise, I'm not going to tune in next week. But, you know, to come back from 2 goals down is not something that I've seen that team do very often in the last little while. So, you know, they're still trying to figure stuff out. And you know, those 2 games first up are not easy games to try and get that sorted, because if you make a mistake, you will get punished. Now, maybe we'll see a little bit different sort of performances over the next few weeks, where if you make a mistake, maybe the West Hams and the Crystal Palaces and these types of teams don't quite have that quality to punish every single one that you make. So, yeah, it's a little bit of a difficult baptism of fire when you're trying to change as much as what we have with the players that have been so used to doing things a certain way. And there's definitely been no forgiveness in those first 2 games, that's for sure.
And Dom, I'll add to that just by, if anybody would have, I would enter this season thinking 4 points from the first 3 games, a good result. So at 2-2, I'm happy, because as bad as West Ham has looked, I thought we could have taken them. And today I was, you know, even though the overall sort of, or the end result is we lost all 3 points, there were more positives as well to take from today than there were from even the Manchester City match. So I do think we're going to get there, but at 2-2, especially Jace, I thought, you know, this was somewhat expected, you know, two brand new systems being implemented, like who would be able to impose their will. And it looks like just Chelsea did more, but at 2-2, I was super positive.
Yeah. I mean, I've got to be honest, you know, it's looking good here. The gloom has lifted. We're on the up. We've just equalized. And then John Aubameyang missed another chance. And, you know, it's at the front post. Surely he's got to do better there again. Surely.
Yeah, it comes in very quick, but a player of his experience, he should be expecting it, anticipating the ball might fall to him. I think he ends up kicking it off both feet. He hits it off his standing leg in the end, doesn't it? And just goes wide. And most annoying thing is, if he gets it on target, Kepa's not getting there. He's rooted. He's not getting to that ball. And yeah, and then I think, you know, maybe it's a very different game, because we were well in the ascendancy at that point. It just, today Aubameyang was very disappointing. I saw lots of people saying, you know, if Lacazette started through the middle, he scores or takes all those chances. I mean, that's always some buts. We don't know that, you know.
Look, Lacazette missed enough opportunities last season as well, to be fair.
Yeah, you know, it does happen to everyone. It's disappointing. Yeah. The thing is, if you give him those 2 chances again, I think 9 times out of 10, he probably scores both. The fact that he didn't get either on target, It's just frustrating. You know, he might go on a run now of like 5-6 games scoring, you know, a couple of goals a game or whatever. It's very easy to do. The one thing I would say is that at least we are still attacking well, exploiting, and we were smart enough to exploit the frailties in Chelsea's system as well, because, you know, Jorginho's come in, is now the deepest player in Chelsea's midfield. It's no longer Conte. Conte doesn't really know quite where he's supposed to be picking players up anymore. Whereas before, if he's the deepest player, he's those pullback balls we're getting from fullbacks and from Mkhitaryan and stuff like that, yeah, and at the byline, Conte's cutting them out all day long. And Jorginho's still adjusting to the league and the speed of it, so he's not there to cut it out. Conte's not quite sure what he's doing. So the fact that we're still at least making the chances and exploiting it is, again, another positive. And these are all the things you have to latch onto at the moment, because otherwise it does, unfortunately, it's like Shredder said at the start, if you look at just the negative things and all the mistakes he's made in defence, it's like, oh, this is just the same as last season. It's exactly the same. What is the point in carrying on? So, frustrating he doesn't score. The interesting thing from after that, Jace, before the goal, was the substitutions.
Give me a second. Before we go there, right, that was the end of the first half. Now, we got 315 people in this chat box. 315 of you. I've only got 56 likes. What the hell is going on here? We get ourselves, you know, Jace is running from the pub to get here, okay? Dom's up at stupid o'clock, maybe 8 o'clock in the morning in Canada to get you. John Welsh has had to suffer that haircut to get you, to give you quality content, okay? And you've only given us 56 likes. Get a grip, people. Come on. Over 100, please. No. Let's rock. Let's go. No. Also, it's Dom's birthday. Happy birthday, Dom. Happy birthday, pal.
Cheers, mate.
How the devil are you?
Well, it would have been better had we at least got a point, but, you know, it's all good.
Yeah, I know. A point would have been epic, but never mind. From a great thing to a sad note, one of our listeners, David Marr. David Marr, you'll often see him in the chat box. He's always interacting with the pod account on Twitter, etc. He lost his father this week, so from all of us here at ABW, Dave, our deepest sympathies, mate, our deepest condolences. We're all thinking of you. You know, thoughts are with you, and I know it's a tough time, but keep your chin up, pal. Keep your chin up. All the best from all of us here at ABW. Good luck, mate. So that's a sad thing. Now on to a good thing. Guys, obviously, we're going to be going every single... we're going to be doing a show after every single game this season. If you want to be part of it, if you want to be in the chat box, subscribe to the YouTube page and click on the bell icon, and we will know. You will know that we are live, okay? As usual, look, we just get fantastic support from you guys. So thank you very much. Whether we agree with your views or disagree, as long as you're not an United fan, you're always welcome. And as long as you're not rude, etc.
And, you know, and thank you for not... When Jace gets on a YouTube by himself, he just kicks the Americans off. So thank you for watching so that Jace just doesn't kick me off automatically.
Yeah, you're lucky, mate. If we don't get 100 soon, we're on 99 now. You're out. You're just out. C'est la vie says, can you get some girl supporters? We try.
Yes.
We try. The difficulty is, guys, we're a group of friends who do this, okay? And it's just the way it's formed over the years. So, you know, we're always looking for people to, you know, to add a bit, you know, some different views. But again, it's difficult. We're trying to grow the show. We're trying to make it better. But again, we're learning as well, a bit like the Arsenal under Emery. So we'll see what we can do as the season goes on.
So, but... Jace, does that make you Shaka or Guendouzi?
That makes him Socrates.
Ah!
To be fair, I've been called worse. I've been called worse. John, back to you. Okay, second half, and we see the first move of the game from Emery. Xhaka's gone. Torreira's on. Now, Xhaka had a putrid game again. You know, he backed up one bad, poor game. with an even worse win. Zero impact on the game, zero positivity. But for Torreira, today was welcome to the Premier League. He had a bit of a tough time, didn't he?
Yeah, I think everyone was pleased to see him come on. He put in some good blocks and cleared the passing lanes, that kind of thing, quite well, I thought, early on. Made some nice passes, some good forward passes as well. A few tackles, but there was a couple of times where he got turned. He got spun by Barkley, gave away some free kicks, that kind of thing. So, yeah, it's not, you know, I think everyone's kind of thought, oh, he's right, this is our solution to the defensive midfield problem. And I think in the long run, he will be. But you have to wait, and it's still a learning curve. And also the fact that he's playing in a system he's not used to either. Like, Samp did press, but they pressed and they were always in a dime, and they weren't in this 4-2-3-1 that we played today. And he's also playing next to a midfielder as well that, you know, he's got no experience of playing with Guendouzi either. So all of those things will come with it. I thought for the most part he was okay today, but unfortunately he was partly at fault for the winning goal that Chelsea scored. The one thing I would say on the substitutions, that one, I like the fact that Emery, you know, doesn't seem to have favourites, you know, that kind of thing of if you're not playing well enough, you are coming off. You know, we've got an option for you to come on. I think the same, I've seen some differing opinions on the Ozil substitution. I know this is a little bit later on in the game, but a few people have said, you know, at that point, we're 2-2. Chelsea haven't scored, and he takes Ozil off, who I don't think was having a very good game, but I thought, honestly, he'd done basically nothing, essentially, in the majority of the game. He'd worked hard and run and stuff like that, but he hadn't really created anything. And I know we didn't have as much of the ball, but it's interesting that Emery decided, no, you know what, it wasn't so much shut up shop, but it was, I don't think Ozil's going to do anything anymore. I'm going to do something that, you know, a previous manager would never have done, essentially, and say, no, you're coming off now. He looked, you know, annoyed when he came off.
Look, you know, we'll come to that later, but he looked frustrated, lonely, upset at that point. Mm. Ozil walking off looked absolutely, you know, he looked frustrated, angry, and heartbroken at the same time.
I couldn't disagree more.
I think it was it's seen as a brave decision. I don't think any substitution is a brave decision by a manager because you're the manager. It's your job. You're supposed to make those decisions.
Yeah.
If he's not playing well enough, then take him off. Fine. The question I've seen sort of floating around on Twitter is, it's 2-2. Okay, Chelsea, you've started to get a little bit back in the game. Is taking Ozil off the right decision? Is that sending a signal of you want to win the game, or is it sending a signal to the players of you'll settle for the draw? You know,
bearing in mind he brings Ramsey on, he's going to win the game because, you know, Ozil had done nothing all game.
Mm. I'm not saying I disagree with the sub. I thought Ozil was very, very poor. But it's just interesting because obviously I think a lot of players in that team look at Mesut Ozil and sort of hold him up as the hero. And if he's on the pitch, you know, something's going to happen. We can win the game. And when they see him go off, I think some players in the team, not that their heads will drop, but I think they'll go, you know, this is not going to, how are we going to get a goal now? Do you know what I mean? He's kind of, not by everyone in the squad, but he's held up in the same light that, say, someone like an Omri or a Van Persie or a Cesc was within those squads of those eras.
I'm really not sure, bearing in mind this guy, you know, wasn't, you know, in the squad for the back end of last season. I'm not sure how he's perceived in that squad. I think there's a lot of media talk. You know, whatever you read in these interviews, a lot of it is media talk. Mm. Unfortunately, today, it's another day where Mesut Ozil, and we're going to come to the question later. A number of you have asked the question. We're going to come to it later. But he had very little impact on this game.
Yeah,
Dom, I want to come to you. Torreira gives the ball away, and you've likened me to Socrates, so let's talk up Socrates because we've given him a bit of a kicking. A really good block from Socrates to save the day there. How do you see this moving forward now? You know, to be fair to Socrates and Torreira, they're new to this squad. They are learning their trade within this new system, aren't they?
Yeah, I think like John said, or you know, when you're talking about Torreira's first kind of real wake-up call almost, where Chelsea were doing a great job of closing down the spaces in midfield, and there was just a couple of times where he probably just assumed that he had a little bit more time than he actually did, and hopefully he's able to rectify that going forward, and he just plays that little bit higher tempo. And then people talk about it all the time about Premier League being a faster league than Italy and faster league than Spain. And I do think he does sound like, from all reports, not just, you know, through the Arsenal circles, but Uruguay and in Italy as well, that he's a very intelligent footballer. He does have a good footballing IQ. And hopefully he's just going to take, you know, small moments like that to then realize that, okay, this is a different pace and I need to be a little bit faster with my decisions, and he'll get up to speed a little bit quicker. But yeah, I mean, not the end of the world, is it, really? When you talk about the fact that we are a team in transition, and you're talking about Socrates hasn't been as bad as what I think you've made him out to be. I just think you've got it in for him a little bit. He's probably not the greatest, most overwhelming signing of all time, but you know, in comparison to some of the disasters we've had last season, I don't think he's been any worse than what we were producing last season. You know, so to say right now that he's, you know, that we've kind of gone downhill with our central defenders, I don't actually think would be that accurate at the moment.
Look, let's be fair, Kate. Socrates is not the problem. It's the fact we've signed a guy with no gas whatsoever when we needed somebody with speed to come into this game. You know, the problem you got, Kate, is that, you know, okay, you can say we've addressed centre-half, but we haven't. We haven't addressed the position whatsoever because you've brought in a guy without the skill set to contribute to where we've been suffering. So, you know, I mean, it's not so much the player, but when you are running in water, Morata's not the quickest guy, and he ran away from him, okay, like Danny running towards a piece of chicken. It was ridiculous, right? It was absolutely ridiculous. He's nowhere to be seen. And that's an issue. The block was superb from him. He did really, really well there. But, you know, we were defending a little higher today than we were in against City. And we got caught badly. And we got caught very, very, very badly. So, you know, there it is. You know, we lost today 3-2. And, you know, it's not totally his fault, but he's not the solution to a centre-back problem. And that's a big issue. Jay, we saw saves from Cech, from Barkley, Jorginho. You know, he had a decent day today, didn't he?
He did. He didn't almost put it in his own net either, which is good. But, I'm torn because the reports I'm hearing from, you know, people close to the club is that Leno's just not where they thought he was when they purchased him. And then we've also got Cech, who I think they're very different keepers. And Leno's somebody who can play out from the back, and he's not going to command his box highly on set pieces. And I don't know if he's – I just haven't seen him play enough to know if he's as good a shot stopper as Cech is. So – I think it puts the club in a tough place now. And I thought Cech would start today. He did. I don't think he did awful. He had some really good saves today. Again, I do find him at fault, though, you know, for that second goal. And we're in a tough situation. And we've put ourselves here. That's the problem. We've sold, you know, a keeper like Chesney away. We haven't really replaced somebody young who is as good as him. Buffon handpicked Wojciech as his successor at Juventus. That says something about the guy, and that says something about the way that we used to coach our keepers. And hopefully that's changing. I don't want to get, you know, Lord Hill Wood all riled up on another, you know, Jerry Payton rant. But, you know, Cech has really strong areas and then really weak areas. And they both showed today.
Yeah, well, you know, playing at defence was difficult. You know, I thought Chelsea were very effective in the in the press, and a midfield just wasn't effective in going and helping them out. So that yeah, that's a bit of an issue. John, you've already mentioned Rambo coming on for Mezut and what sort of message is sent out. We had Lacazette come on for Iwobi. Iwobi was shot by then. He wasn't really contributing at that point. At this point, did you think, oh, we're going to go on and win this game?
Then to me, at that point, it looked like Chelsea had sort of wrested back control of the ball. You know, it was fairly even, I thought, from the start of the second half, but around the 75-70 minute mark, it started to get to, we'd have the ball, but they'd get it back very, very quickly. And then I wasn't sure if Chelsea were going to get another goal, but I was kind of scared of the prospect of letting them have the ball for 5-10 minutes. And I saw Eden Hazard warming up as well, and just thought, this is going to be really tough, the last sort of 10-15 of the game. I was hoping that maybe, you know, Lacazette seems to bring the best out of Aubameyang, and he has seemed quite comfortable on that left-hand side of the pitch when he's played there, at least in pre-season. So I thought, okay, Chelsea coming onto us more and more and more, we're drawing them on, they're making more space in behind. Torreira's already tried one little ball over the top. It was just a little bit mistimed. Guendouzi's had a go at one as well that was just caught offside. I think Aubameyang did actually put one in the back of the net, but it was like correctly flagged for offside. So I just thought there's a chance that maybe we get a lucky break and get a good counter. But I was very nervous when I saw Hazard warming up as well, because then I just thought they've just got too much of the ball at this point. So if you could have fast-forwarded like another 10-15 minutes, I would have gone, yeah, I'll take the draw.
Yeah. Let's be honest. I thought at one point we were going to go on and win it. I don't understand why Emery's playing Ramsey so far up the pitch. He's not as effective up there. Bringing Lacazette on was really positive, but I thought Guendouzi and Torreira had lost that midfield baton at that point. Yeah, they can't aim miss. And then the Alonso goal, Dom. Laka gives the ball away. Hazard getting on the cross. Torreira did not follow Alonso at all. He let him go. And to be fair, Alonso, not for the first time, breaks our hearts.
Mm.
Go for it.
Not a big fan of that Alonso fella. I think he's a bit of a, you know.
I'd love to have his hair. I'd love to have his hair.
He's got a mullet. He's got a mullet. He's in 1984.
Have you seen Jace's hair? Have you seen mine? Yeah. I'd take his hair. I'd take Emery's.
Yeah. I'm not that desperate, but I'd love Alonso's hair.
I think you'd suit the Guendouzi style, Jace. That'd be amazing. But the goal, yeah, I think, again, you know, you can, every goal ever scored in football, you can analyze to the hilt, and you can, you know, pick it apart and find blame all over the place, because that's how goals are scored. Very, very rarely does a goal get scored and someone sit back and go, well, there's nothing we could do. It was too good. You know, you're always going to point at a player or a position or something. The thing is you just don't want to turn one mistake into two, because that's quite often how you do concede a goal, is it's a run of mistakes in succession that lead to a scoring opportunity. So the Lacazette was the first mistake. The pass that he made was, I even remember saying it out loud watching, what are you doing? Because there was a player to his right that was open, and he plays it to a guy that had two Chelsea players pretty much in front of him. It was only going to end up doing one thing. So that was the first mistake. And then, like you said, the Torreira not tracking, you know, the right back's not getting out fast enough, et cetera, et cetera. But Hazard, I think, really did change that game when he came on. And I think he was, unfortunately, I don't like giving him credit, but he was the difference today when he came on, for sure. And our substitutions didn't quite have the same impact for us, unfortunately.
I'd also echo it, not just Hazard, but also Kovacic, who came on.
Oh, he bought the dirtiest, stinkingest free kick I've ever seen.
No, he's a touch. Very good footballer, though. He's a very...
Oh, yes. To be honest, I thought they were on top at that point.
Mm.
Okay. I don't think Kovacic had as much impact as Hazard. The run, the impetus. And I thought Alonso had gone up and down that park all day long. And again, from that guy, another good finish.
Yeah.
You know, another great finish from him, which, you know, kind of puts Mkhitaryan and Aubameyang to shame. He made no mistake. And that's all she wrote. That's all we had then was the Ramsey effort was just too far. It was just too high. And the game was done. You know, we were... I don't think we did enough to deserve the win today. And that's the truth of the matter. Okay, we didn't do enough to win the game. But I thought, you know, I looked at Aubameyang's performance. I looked at Ozil. You know, Ramsey had little effect on the game. You know, if that shot goes in, great. Torreira and Xhaka were poor. You know, if people are quoting Hector Bellerin, you look at, you know, Torreira had zero impact on the game, really. You know, Xhaka had a negative impact. Aubameyang, very poor. Ozil, very poor. And yet we were still in it. So as much as we have negatives, there's the positives of, you know, we're going to get better. We are really going to get better. You know, I don't understand what Emery's trying to do at the moment, but you've got to have a little bit of faith in him and you've got to hope it comes off.
Jace, I think the biggest thing was we actually saw the press work for a good amount of the second half.
Did you?
We did. I think to say we didn't, because we really had Chelsea on the back foot for especially the first 30 minutes of that second half.
They were all over us that second half.
Late in the second half, yes, they absolutely were. But there was a time when we really had the press working today. And I think we looked good with our shape. We looked good defensively. We were moving with the ball. And we continued to push them back into their sort of half. And I think to deny that, even for a little bit, we're not being realistic there.
Mate, you watched a different game to me, seriously. Our press did not work today at any point. You know, we turned the ball over in their half, I think it was once or twice. I thought we weren't as even. I guess what I'm trying to say is, I'm not sure if you agree with me or not, Dom, but we are kind of where we're supposed to be with a new manager. Do you know what I mean? We're in the teething stages.
I mean, I remember at the end of the season, we spoke about this, about moving forward. And for us, it was almost, well, look, it's going to be tough. It's going to be difficult. The squad needed changes. You know, a lot of the players that Arsene had let stay around for a long time that hadn't really been producing, you know, like the Wilshires, those types of players had been moved on. And he's going, you can't fix it all overnight. But the big thing we were excited about is that we'd finally have something to talk about. You know, we're finally going to hopefully be able to analyze games a little differently now and, be, you know, like we have today. And you know, Shreds is talking about the pressing game in the second half. You're saying that you're not so sure that you saw the pressing game. And, you know, I've got a different opinion again. And at least as opposed to the last few years, you know, at least now there is the optimism that maybe next week will be different. Maybe next week will be a little better again. Maybe they'll figure out a few more things on the training pitch and start to tighten it and hone it in. Because the last two seasons, especially for me personally, I was just basically going through the motions because I knew the next week was going to be the same as the week before, as the same as the week before. And so at least now the conversation that we can actually have is, what do we think is going to happen next week? Because I don't think we're going to just see the same type of disjointed, almost there, almost not type of football. It will eventually happen, and it's going to come down to whether Emery gets the chance to stay long enough to do that. It's going to come down to whether Sven and the team can get the players in that he needs, and it's going to come down to whether the players we have can actually start to change the way that they've been playing and keep up.
Jude Garlick, or whatever your name is, go to hell. Take care. Good night. Adios.
Don't give him the head.
No, I enjoy checking them out. And some people will enjoy that.
Jace is like the blade for trolls. That's really what he is. He's Wesley Snipe, but Welsh.
And no neck. John, your thoughts on that? Your thoughts on that, mate?
It's It's like I said at the start, you know, it's confusing to be an Arsenal fan at the moment because you don't know how to react to games because it is all new and it's so hard to assess exactly what's happened in the game because do you take it to the you know, conclusions we were for the last few years where this player isn't good enough, that player isn't good enough, or do you say, well, actually, it's two games into a brand new regime, brand new system, everyone has to be given a chance? I think realistically, you have to look at where we are after 12 games and what has been the system most used, because I do think he will change slightly depending on the opponent. But I think we'll see one favoured more than others because we have got a run of, you know, technically easier games. And I think you have to assess it after that and then say, OK, this is the kind of style of football we can expect to see. You can already see the kind of things he wants to do and what he's trying to do with the team. It's just whether he can get certain players who at the moment aren't getting it, to perform and do that. And that's the real test. But you can't go out and say, you know, this is just useless. This isn't going to work. This player isn't good enough and everything else. It's two games into the season. You know, let's be honest, even under Arsene Wenger in his very, very best years, or George Graham or any other manager, it doesn't matter whether it's Arsenal or whoever, start of the season, sometimes players aren't actually match sharp yet. Some teams start quicker than others. You know, look at Man United for years under Ferguson. They started so slowly and then they were just speed up. You know, so these kind of things happen. Even with Xhaka, we've seen in his short time at Arsenal, he's a player who finishes the season much better than he starts it. He tends to improve as the season goes on and you get better and better performances out of him. So I think you've got to wait until that sort of 12-game period and then you can have like a better assessment of this is clearly what we're trying to do and this is exactly what Emery's trying to implement. And, okay, we can kind of see now that this player isn't quite right for it, so he probably will be moved on and someone else needs to come in to fill that position, that kind of thing. But it was never going to be fixed after one transfer window, never.
I think the big thing, if you're looking at today as a single game, you know, Aubameyang missed two sitters. Mkhitaryan missed a sitter. Iwobi, that was a tougher chance, but it was a chance on another day he'd have scored. You're looking at four goals there, which we should have put away.
Yeah.
You know, and that's something you have to take into account. Okay, you know, these guys don't mean to miss those goals, but the fact of the matter is today, we'd have won that game if you put those chances away. But we didn't.
Shots on goal as they did, but then the ones that were blasted over the bar don't count as shots on goal, but arguably were better chances. So even though it was the same amount of chances on goal as Chelsea, we probably still had the better of the goal-scoring opportunities. And at one point in the second half, we were sitting at 34% possession for the second half for most of it. So, you know, the chat box, there's a few comments. Sorry for missing your actual name, but someone brought it up really well, was that the transition from the defence to attack just wasn't quite smooth enough. And I felt the same sort of thing with the Man City game, but I do expect that to improve as the players get a little better, as the players understand the system and their own movement, because we're not going to pass sideways, 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 sideways and have the ball for long periods of time before we bother trying to go forward and let another team counter us. It's going to be the opposite now. We're going to try and turn the ball over and move very, very quickly. And again, it's a big difference. And these players are going to take that little bit of time to do it. And 100% agree, it wasn't smooth today. And we were missing some very easy passes that you would expect players, especially at Arsenal, to be able to complete. But look, you know, it's just one of those things that it's the signs are there for me personally. You know, maybe other people don't quite see it the same as me, but I see some of the signs there. And I do expect with the little run of games we've got coming up that we may be able to see a little bit. We're not going to get punished as much if it doesn't quite come off, Jace. That's what I'm thinking for the next little run of games.
I think the other thing to say, just quickly, Jace, before you go on, you know, the three goals you conceded are all easy to stop from happening. You know, they were fairly weak goals to concede. It wasn't like it's a worldie or a, you know, amazing piece of play and stuff. They're all things that can be worked on the training ground. The goals you obviously missed is just down to concentration and improving your finishing, that kind of thing. The transition is better. And I actually think you know, at times last season we struggled a little bit to create chances, and so far we haven't had that problem against Chelsea and Man City, which is for me good signs. And you already see Guendouzi's come in. He's always very positive with the ball. I still think he's, you know, he's obviously very young and makes mistakes, but he's always forward thinking with the ball. He always wants to look forward first. Torreira as well. They're very quick with the ball. They want to move it out quickly and push it forwards, not just push it sideways. You know, even Xhaka, when he has got on the ball a couple of times, he still looks for the diagonals and to try and get it forward if he can. So I think all those things are positives. And I think you, when, like Dom said, at the end of this sort of run of three games, if we end up winning all three, we get 9 points. And then you look at it and you go, well, okay, well, we just had a tough start to the season under a new manager. Things will be, the players will be a little bit more comfortable, a little bit more relaxed after that. And, you know, then maybe we can go from there.
Yeah, I had a look at the chat box, and there's so many differing opinions for tonight. And I know I know Shreds has gone now. He's probably fallen asleep drunk. You know, there's four different opinions here on certain aspects of the game. I think there's a lot to be positive about. I think there is a lot to be positive about. That fly pigeon, we'll have a think about it after dark, mate. We will. We'll have a think about it after dark. I think that's in the offing. I think there's a lot to be positive about. I think there's a lot of issues that need addressing and quickly. And, you know, it's not going to be solved overnight. It's not something, you know, I hate that. I think the term of, I've heard the term de-vengifying or whatever, the club, it's utter nonsense, okay? That sort of crap is, you know, I don't buy that whatsoever, okay? You know, but I think we have to get these guys in a different mindset. You know, Xhaka plays differently. Obviously, it's a different setup for Switzerland as he does for Arsenal, Ramsey for Wales, Ozil used to for Germany, etc. You know, these guys are not imbeciles. These footballers are not imbeciles. They understand how to play in different systems. They've already played in different systems throughout their career. It's now just pulling it together at the Arsenal and getting what Emery wants them to do. I think, you know, the January transfer window might be very interesting for us. It might be very, very interesting for us. But again, you know, we've got to give it time. You know, it's not going to be solved overnight. It is going to be something which, you know, is going to take a little bit of time. So, you know, we've got to go with it. So we're going to have a couple of questions before we wrap this up. Sorry, I'm just going to block another imbecile. Take care. Ta-ta. Good night. We'll have a couple of questions and then we'll call this one a night, guys. It's been a difficult day, so, you know.
It's been that difficult that Jace has just disappeared. That's how difficult it's been, John. You and I can carry this ship. Let's steer it into a cliff. Let's see what happens.
Should we do some questions, yeah?
Yeah, let's do a couple of questions.
Okay, I've got a few in the box and I'll grab some more. So got one from Jovi82 here, Dom. Early days, I'm remaining positive and optimistic. We can end up in the top four. Are you?
I think I need to see the next 6-7 game stretch and let's have a look at how quickly we can start playing some consistent football, you know, for 90 minutes, week after week. That's what I'm going to have to wait, yeah, for those next 7 or 8 games. What about you?
I mean, for the most part, I'm positive. Top four is difficult. I mean, for me, I've got Man City and Liverpool.
All right, guys, sorry for that.
That's all right, Jace. We're just doing some questions. I've got Man City and Liverpool as the top two. Probably United third. And then I think fourth is up for grabs. Chelsea, you saw today, can play some very nice football, but I think excuse me, defensively they're going to be still a bit suspect, and also they're in not quite the same boat as us, but they're developing a new system, so they're going to have some dodgy games. Spurs have bought no one, and I think, yeah, start of the season they'll be fine, but towards the latter half of the season I think that squad's going to get very, very tired and very stretched, and they're going to suffer for it. So I think it's a possibility. I wouldn't bet my house on it at the moment. I think a bit like you, I need to see more from the team and, yeah, I don't know, 4 or 5 more games and then see where we are. We're definitely in with a shout for 4th spot, though, but I don't think realistically we can finish higher than that.
I have no idea what's happening. I've lost all the questions. So you've
okay, mate. I shall ask the next one. C-Rex, who's been very, very patient in the chat, who's put this up a few times. So I'll give this one to you, Jace. Is Ozil a luxury player with the way Emery wants to play? I think maybe. Would like to hear what you think, though.
I think on it's difficult. It's the first 2 games of the season. On performances to date, yes. I think there's no getting away from that. On his history at the club, yes. Can Emery change his attitude towards defending and contributing going forward? I hope so. You know, you're talking about a player, Mesut Ozil, who's got a fabulous skill set, probably the most talented footballer we have at the club. But football is about delivering, it's about contribution. And he doesn't do that often enough. There's been too many days where he's gone missing, you know. I don't see the point in trying to play Ramsey in that position. He's just not suited to it. Whenever you hear somebody say, oh, Ramsey plays 10 for Wales, no, he wears the number 10. You've obviously never watched Wales play football. He plays as a central midfielder. That's the end of it. He doesn't play 10. You have Bale in that free role. And I think it will be important for Emery to get the best out of Mesut, because I think Mesut can contribute to us. He can make a real impact this season, but he's going to have to learn how to do it. And it's one of the issues we face. But at the moment, yes, he's a luxury player. And, you know, it's very difficult for us. You know, I love watching Mesut Ozil, but he contributed nothing going forward last week, and he contributed next to nothing today. So, yeah. So there you go. You carry on asking the questions, John.
Okay, mate. Where are we? Oh, God, there we go. Chandru, do you think our centre mid options have to step up, or we need another DM like Nzonzi in January, Dom? We can't have Nzonzi because he's gone to Roma. But do you think we still need another option in central midfield?
Well, I think Elneny's probably going to be told to move on, maybe even before the end of this window, because we can still get rid of players, correct? To overseas. We can still sell, we can't buy. Yeah. So I don't know, maybe there is a spot there. I don't know, because I think it all depends on whether Xhaka starts to actually be able to contribute in that position. And if he does, then maybe not. But if not, you know, potentially, and this is what we're going back to by taking 2-3 transfer windows, is that he has to see what he's got. And unlike us, Emery's not going to judge players after 2 games. We are very reactionary. We're very emotional. And if a manager was doing that, they wouldn't last very long. So he's going to take some time to see whether Xhaka fits and how he fits and if he fits and potentially. And if we do potentially buy in that position, it won't be someone like Nzonzi. It'll be someone that's much, much more mobile and way more athletic, that can get around the ground a little bit, because that's what's lacking back there. Is if you're going to push Bellerin and Monreal up to create width, you need athletic defensive midfield type players that can then get across and cover, you know, flying wingers and et cetera. So it's going to take a little bit of time, but I don't think we'll be seeing Nzonzi, like you said, or even anyone even remotely like him.
Yeah. Yeah. Just to defend Xhaka a little bit, because I know he's been slaughtered on here for this game and the Man City one. I don't think he's a bad player. I just don't think he particularly fits this system. He's not, like Dom said, an athletic run around the pitch kind of. He'll run around the pitch, he just can't do it very quickly. Ahmed Nada, Jace, asks, why isn't Torreira starting? Also, why are we addicted to width instead of just a 4-4-2 diamond with Laka and Aubameyang instead of Ramsey playing in a false 10 or something like that? Which, to be fair, we saw in the second half of the City game. We went to that diamond, didn't we? And we started to play better.
Saw for 20 minutes, half an hour, yeah. Didn't we? And it worked for a third of the time it was used. You know, and all of a sudden, it's worked for 10 minutes. Ooh! Well, it didn't work for the other 20. So, you know, as Dom said, you know, we are reactionary. It's what we do. We comment on the game, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And we can only expose what we feel for the here and now. For managers, it's different. But I look at Torreira and I thought his second half performance is exactly why he's not starting. He needs time to adjust. He's still a young man. I know he's had some two seasons in Sampdoria, but Italy is very different to the Premier League.
Yeah.
Very, very different. You know, he had a torrid time coming on. He stunk the park up. Let's be fair. You know, there's giving the ball away in defence. There's a, you know, giving a poor free kick away.
I think he was 50-50 his game. He, obviously, if the goal was very poor, being, you know, just, not just alert for that. But then he put some good blocks and tackles in.
I'm being harsh on him. I'm being very harsh on him. But that's what the Premier League is.
Yeah.
He is going to come and get used to the league and he is going to become a good player. I've no doubt about that. But today, he had a tough time at the office. You know, it's Chelsea away. He's had a tough time at the office. Let's not slaughter him for it. You know, he had a bad game. So what? Ramsey had a bad game. Ozil had a bad game. Socrates had a bad game. Xhaka did. They're going to have good games and bad games. It's not the end of the world, but that's the reason. You know, Guendouzi, the French league, he's that boy's just got the athleticism and the attitude. He's just settled in. He's done well, but he's still made plenty of mistakes.
Yeah.
You know, he's not the second coming of Jesus, you know? And it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. As far as the 4-4-2 diamond, look, you know, it worked for 10 minutes and a half hour period. I think we need width, but I think we need solidity. I think if you look at the three goals that we've conceded today, that's the reason we're not going 4-4-2 with the diamond, because I don't think we'll get enough protection for the back four. I don't think you've got enough pace there. I don't think Hector's a good enough defender yet. Nacho's a solid citizen. But if you're not getting protection for your fullbacks, you got no hope. And I don't think the diamond is going to protect us enough. I think we're going to settle on either a 4-3-3 or a 4-2-3-1. That's the way he likes playing. I think that's what we're going to see going forward.
Yeah. Next one. Arsenal Red and White Army TV. Yes, you can get a shout out. Liam. Oh, Jace, I think they're coming.
Sorry.
Liam, a question for you, Dom. Can Ozil and Mkhitaryan play in the same team?
From the first two games, it doesn't look that way. Yeah, I get where he's coming from. I definitely understand where he's coming from. I think, you know, they both want to play with a mind on being offensive, which you need. You know, I don't want to play like Mourinho does, where even the offensive players are told to basically be fullbacks. But in saying that, potentially having both of those guys out there does leave too much coverage for other players to have to try and to do. You know, the alternative is that you ask Mkhitaryan and Ozil to play the way that they need to play to keep their spot. You know, so potentially if they're able to change, which they do need to after these first two games, both of them need to. I thought Ozil's work rate in the Man City game was quite good. I think he had 6 ball recoveries, which is our highest of any player. The thing that let Ozil down in the first game was just his touch and his passing was characteristically terrible, which he's normally great at. And then the part of his game that he's not so good at, he actually did quite well. Whereas in this game, I don't think either of them did particularly well with either part of their game, other than Mkhitaryan's chance for his goal that he did take, which was quite good. But yeah, I mean, I definitely see that. I definitely see there's got to be a question there for the manager to either, you know, play someone else or to get those two to actually start working the way that they need to for the rest of the team.
Yeah. I think, again, it's kind of, we had this question a lot last season. How do you get them both into the team? How do you get Aubameyang and Lacazette in the team together? Can you play all four? I think it's a case of depending on the opposition and how well they can adjust to the system. Orpheus Jones also asked about the diamond as well. We've already kind of answered that. He did do it a little bit in the Man City game. If you go back, Orpheus, there was like a, when Torreira came on, and Lacazette, we went to a two up front, and Ozil was playing the 10, and we played Diamond for a while. It was okay, but whether we continue with that, I don't know. One more then from Big Bunny Kane.
You've got to answer this, Matt. You've got to answer this.
Oh, God. Both last game and this, Emery made changes fast, but was it to correct his own mistakes? Wow. This is a really difficult one to answer. I understand why he set up the way he did in the City game, being very tight in the middle, because that's what they're good at, passing through those lanes. But it's so hard to adjust, because Pep spends so much time when he's watching any game, doesn't matter whether it's 5 minutes in, 20 minutes in, whatever. If he sees an area where there's some weakness, he will then instruct his team to change and play a slightly different method and exploit that. And that's what they did. And they used width against us and it worked really well. And then we adjusted second half and they struggled a little bit. So I think that it's good that he adjusted and changed. Again today, I think that the fact that he, you know, took off Ozil, who wasn't really performing and doing a whole lot. He took off Xhaka, who wasn't playing very well. I like that he changes things if they're not working. I think that's good. That's a positive. Were they both mistakes, though, the way he set up? I think the Man City one's kind of a free roll. And to a lesser extent, this one is a little bit, because it is away to Chelsea. I know they're also in a bit of a transition. But I think the one question you may have put over today was whether Xhaka should have started. That would have been it. Other than that, I'm not sure there's a whole lot more difference in the lineup I would have picked. I don't know how fit Ramsey is. I don't think anyone really does. You know, was he actually fit enough to start the game? Is Torreira fit enough to start the game yet either? That might have been why Xhaka started. So I'm happy that he's, you know, reactionary enough to change things and see that things aren't working well and to adjust in game. But yeah, we'll have to see. I mean, like we've said on everything, really, we have to see, you know, 8 games in, 12 games in, if this is a consistent thing where perhaps he sets the team up wrong and then has to adjust. If that is the case, then hopefully he adjusts and gets it right and we win every game. That'll be great. That'll be fine. He can do that as much as he wants. But yeah, it is more of a case of wait and see, I think. But that's it.
As well as that, okay, sorry, just to add to that, let's be honest, okay, right? You're not only Pep, but Sarri, these are intelligent managers who change the way they play as the game goes along. So it's almost like a game of chess out there. It's not that maybe Emery gets it wrong. It's maybe they've been outsmarted on the day by the opposite manager.
To a certain extent. I think the Pep thing is harder because he does adjust. Sarri generally plays the same system. And I'm sure Emery knows that. He will tweak little things within the game, but the general shape of the team and the way they play will stay pretty much the same. I mean, what you saw the difference was today is the Chelsea team has had less disruption than ours. We've had a lot of more new players come in, and Chelsea also had someone like Hazard they could bring off the bench, and Kovacic as well.
They won the title 2 seasons ago.
Yeah, I think that's the other thing as well. You look at that squad is basically the squad that won the title 2 seasons ago, who stopped playing for a year because they didn't like the manager. You know, so it's still a very, very good team. And I know also people are a bit gutted that Morata scored. Yes, he was bad last season. But if you look at Morata at Juventus, you look at him at when he was at Real Madrid, there is a reason Juventus bought him. There's a reason that Real Madrid took him back as well. He's a very good player. Sometimes it takes a player a season to grow into the league. So, you know, it's not the end of the world.
Absolutely. Right, guys, that's it. Quick couple of shout outs. King for the day. John on the left, I'm in the middle, Dom on the right. That's the way we roll. Jove82, Sir Antonius Black, Ahmed Nada. Oh, who else? Who else can I get you? That's all I can see. Sorry, my screen's frozen there. Thank you to everyone for joining in tonight. It's very much appreciated. You've been superb. As usual, the chat box has been brilliant. Hit that like button. Come on, 200, please. By the end of this, 200. Let's go. Let's do it now, righto? Our thoughts are with David Ma and his family. You know, he's a long time part of the ABW family. So our hearts go out to him. To any new listeners today, if you want to know when we go live, click on the channel. Click on the bell icon. You'll know when we go live. To Dom, happy birthday, Dom.
Thank you, Jace. A quick shout out to Oscar Candy. I know Arsenal something or other TV was in the chat asking for that little shout out. So thanks for listening. And thank you for the birthday wishes, everybody. It's been, well, you know, it would have been better if had we got a win. but or even a point. But yeah, not too bad.
Yeah, well, look, I'm take care, everyone. Thank you very much. Oh, my computer's going to freeze again. I've had a Getzville today.